Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 53, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stico. Welcome to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. I hope you're enjoying our show, and I hope you will continue to share our episodes. We always love to get people to listen and to join in. Today we've got Father Chip is with us today. How's it going, Father Chip?
Very good, Father Corey. I'm glad to be back with you guys on Let's Talk. It's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're always glad to have you. And we're talking about an issue today that actually it's good that, you know, both of us as priests, it's something that's going to very much affect us, and it's something that's in the news as a current issue of concern for the church, not just in one particular part of the United States, but in the United States and throughout the world, because this is an issue that's raising its head in many parts of the world.
Yeah, that's true. And it's enough to make you, nervous.
Yeah, it is.
And concerned, and not just for us, but I'm more concerned really for the people. I mean, it's the lay people, and me as a person who goes to confession. It makes me nervous if the state gets involved in this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And so the issue we're talking about is the California bill, Senate bill SB 360, which is the mandated reporters, clergy, that modifies the existing Child Abuse and Neglect Reporting Act. That's a whole big long, you know, of course you got the big titles they got to have in it.
Oh yeah.
And what it does, I'll read to you the description.
Yep.
From the intro, from the bill itself. It says this bill would delete that exception for penitential communication, thereby requiring clergy to make a mandated report, even if they acquired the knowledge or reasonable suspicion of child abuse or neglect during a penitential communication. This bill would make additional conforming changes. So when this bill was first issued a few months ago, it would remove any exemption for the sacrament of confession.
Right.
If a priest had heard of child abuse or neglect in confession, that priest was a mandated reporter that had to call the cops, basically call, you know, the Children's Protection, call somebody, you know, and of course it shows who you got to call and all that, all those lists. They've since modified it. Now the intro to the bill, the one that just passed the California Senate, says this bill would further define a penitential communication for the purposes of the exception. The bill would also exempt from the exemption. Try to say that two times fast.
Yeah, really.
Any penitential communication made between a clergy member and another person employed at the same facility or location as that clergy member, or between a clergy member and another clergy member. So to break that down much more simply, first of all, the state is defining what the sacrament of penance is, or penitential communication.
Sure is.
And not the church, according to this bill, and that there would be an exemption to the exemption. So in other words, there would be a requirement to report if it is between a priest and a staff member of his parish,
right,
or a priest and another priest. So if Father Chip comes to me and confesses that he abused a child, he touched a child, something like that, whatever it might be, and heaven forbid either of us would ever do that.
Which neither one of us has ever done.
Would ever do. You know, I think both of us are the mindset of the priests that have done that should deal with some very extreme consequences.
I agree.
So let's be 100%. Clear on that. You know, we do not endorse it. We do not encourage it. We think it is abhorrent that any priests have ever done it. Let's get sickening. That out there. But anyways, yep. But if that happened, I would be obligated to report him,
right?
You know, so Father Chip, why would some say that's a bad thing? Why would some say that I shouldn't report? Let's start from this side. Why would some say that's a bad thing that I shouldn't report?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious bad thing is that it's not the church defining what the sacrament of reconciliation is. It's the state. Correct. And so I think that's your first number one bad thing.
Yeah.
Second bad thing for me is as a penitent, I as a Catholic have a certain right to expect that my priest that I'm confessing to is going to keep the seal.
Exactly.
So you've got those two things going on there, and to exempt priests from the sacrament, it's basically it's saying priests are exempt from the sacrament of confession, which is mind blowing.
Exactly. A priest would have to confess without making it clear to whoever he's confessing to. So that means he would have to go find someone that doesn't know him at all.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And then would not be able to say, you know, and I don't know what you were taught, Father Chip, but, you know, what I was, you know, trained is when you go to confession to someone who might not know you, to another priest who might not know you, is to say, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I am a clergy member. I'm a priest of another diocese, or I'm a priest of this diocese. And
yeah, we were taught the same thing. Yeah.
You know, to identify yourself as a priest, you know, certainly. because there are certain things that are, you know, certain things that are sinful for a priest, you know, for example, not praying the breviary is a sin for a priest. It's not for a lay person. It's a good idea. It's highly encouraged. It's not a sin.
Right.
Because we made the promise to pray the breviary.
Exactly.
So things like that. So we have to, you know, identify ourselves. Well, at that point, the second I would say that, immediately that priest would have the obligation to report me according to this law.
Right. And it seems, you know, even if this law passes, I can't see it passing constitutional muster. I mean, there is a separation between church and state, and it has to go both ways.
Exactly.
It can't be a one way street where we stay out of their business, so to speak, and then they get involved in ours.
Yeah.
I can't believe, I mean, the California legislature must have lawyers that they employ. And I can't imagine that the lawyers that they employ are saying, oh yeah, this is no problem. You can do this.
You know, I agree with you. However, common sense and legislatures haven't always gone hand in hand.
True. And I just imagine that the lawyers, even though if they're not legislators, if they're their, you know, they're their technical advisors, they should be able to say to their bosses, look, guys, we can pass this. You can pass this all you want. And even the governor could sign it. But if someone challenges this and it goes to the Supreme, even if it goes to the state courts, it may not pass.
Well, and of course they'll challenge it. They will get challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court. You can pretty much guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Which would be a good thing, because then you can, you know, that if California, this has, like I said, this has passed the Senate. Now, I don't know exactly. I think California is a bicameral.
They do. They have a Senate and a lower house.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's gone through the lower house yet. I don't know. You know, so if I was trying to find that out, and I couldn't quite find it. But still, the fact that it's passed one of the houses in the Senate really, you know, is concerning. And if it does, but if California passes this and it gets signed, which I believe the governor did say he would sign it if it got to him, not a shock.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
You know, other states are going to start looking. And so this, you know, this is why we want to kind of talk about it now, because we want to kind of get it out there. You know, the sacrament of confession is one of the most important things we do as Catholics. It's one of the most important tasks that we have as priests, is to be the minister of the sacrament. It's one of the most important things we do as Catholics, is to receive that forgiveness through the sacrament. And we don't want to see it affected.
Absolutely. And I have a feeling that this could have, so a bill and a law like this could have a chilling effect on a sacrament that's already on its last legs in most quarters of the country.
Yeah. It's
in the world.
It's sad to say we as Catholics do not receive the sacrament like we should already. We don't need this. There's a matter of fact, the bishop, this article from National Catholic Register, I'll put this one and also an article that's more of an oversight in the show notes. But Bishop Michael Barber of the Diocese of Oakland, he said that he's actually had priests tell him that he's having penitents come to them, to these priests, and say, if I confess something that's a crime, are you going to have to call the cops? You know, they're already saying, you know, are you going to report me to the cops if this happens? And, you know, of course, the priest is saying no.
Right.
But he also said that the Bishop Barber also said that he will go to jail before obeying this law. And I think most priests will agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, I heard him say that, and I said, you know, excellent. I get it. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure every priest that I know pretty much feels the same way. And I just, you know, it's one of the things that we are taught, and it is hammered into us, rightly so. Mm-hmm. In those classes, especially the penance and anointing class, this is sacrosanct. This is something that, you know, we can't say anything. And if we say something for one sin, well, what's next? You know,
exactly.
I mean, is murder next? Is armed robbery next? I mean, what's next?
Exactly. You know, if the government, let's just look at something that's, you know, government related. What if someone comes to confess to us that they've been cheating on their taxes?
Right.
Are we supposed to call the IRS? And you might mock it, but that's, you know darn well the government's going to do stuff like that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just saying, like I said, once they pass this, you know, and they get this on the books, well, what's to stop them from passing laws that will get us to be mandated reporters for everything that's criminal? And, you know, I mean, you and I both know. I mean, listen, I haven't had someone confess murder. I haven't had someone confess tax fraud or any of that stuff.
Right.
But it could happen. And if it does, I need to be free to be able to talk with them in a way that can convince them that they need to turn themselves in, they need to fix their situation, whatever the problem is. And, you know, I think we would both, and I think most priests would try to do the same with a priest that was, you know, found himself in a mess with child abuse. We'd probably try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to turn yourself in. You have to stand up and take the medicine that you can't keep going through life like this.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, obviously we can't make that the penance, and that's one thing that's drilled into us. You know, you can't say
absolutely,
as a penance, you need to go to the police station right after you're done here. You know, can't do that. But we can say, you know, if you're truly repentant for this, if you're truly sorry for this, you really want to do that. You want, you know, you need to admit what you did. That's very different than saying that, you know, okay, as soon as you're done, I'm going to pull out my cell phone and call child protection or something like that.
Exactly. And I think the other thing is, you know, this whole thing, it just makes me really uncomfortable, but I don't want to be in the business of turning people into the government or the state, whatever form it takes.
Right.
I mean, that sounds to me like Soviet Russia, and I just don't want to be involved in that business.
Yeah, I hear you. They're, you know, and it, if people know that priests are going to call the cops, they're not going to go to confession.
No, it'll be
it'll literally
kill the sacrament of reconciliation if they do that.
Yeah. So kind of in case someone say, well, you're Father Chip and Father Corey, you're just overreacting. I want to read the current law as it is on the books right now in the state of California. And the nice thing is when you go to the website, and again, we'll also link to the actual Senate bill. I believe very strongly in having this documentation. It'll show you in red what the current law that's being changed is, and in blue what the new law is going to be. So the current law states, a clergy member who acquires knowledge or a reasonable suspicion of child abuse or neglect during a penitential communication is not subject to subdivision A, which is the mandatory reporting rules. For the purposes of this subdivision, penitential communication means a communication intended to be in confidence, including but not limited to a sacramental confession made to a clergy member who, in the course of the discipline or practice of his or her church, denomination, organization, is authorized or accustomed to hear those communications, and under the discipline, tenets, customs, or practices of his or her church, denomination, organization, has the duty to keep those communications secret. So the current law on penitential communication isn't explicitly the sacrament of confession. It's any sacrament or confession, penitential type conversation between a priest or a minister and a parishioner of some sort.
Right.
You know,
right.
So this affects more than the Catholic Church.
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we oftentimes think that it's just us, but there's always confidential information, confidential communication between other clergy and their flock. I mean, that happens. I mean, I'm certain that it does
all the time.
And so, you know, I mean, because people come to clergy because they feel like they can have a place to air something out and have a discussion where they know it's safe.
Exactly. Exactly. And it should be like that. We as clergy people should feel comfortable to come to us. So now here's what the new law says. Except as otherwise provided in paragraph 5, subdivision A, the mandatory reporting does not apply to knowledge or reasonable suspicion of child abuse or neglect obtained by a clergy member during a penitential communication. For the purposes of this subdivision, penitential communication means a communication that meets all of the following requirements. A is communicated orally. B is made privately to a clergy member. C is intended by the communicant to be an act of contrition or matter of conscience. D is intended by both parties to be confidential at the time the communication was made. E is made in the manner and context that places the clergy member specifically and strictly under a level of confidentiality that is considered inviolate by church doctrine. Number 2, for the purposes of this subdivision, penitential communication does not include any of the following activities unless such activities take place as part of a penitential communication as defined in paragraph 1. A, providing spiritual direction. B, religious counseling. C, individual group therapy. D, activity related to human resources or personnel management. E, clergy assignment work. F, communications between clergy, laity, or other members of the faith that occur outside a penitential context. G, activity relating to church administration or management. Number 3, a written communication shall not qualify as penitential communication. So far, I don't really see anything there as a problem.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's pretty clear and detailed. You know, I mean, I think the only problem I would have had was maybe spiritual direction. I mean, because a lot of times that, at least in the Catholic context, is considered the internal forum.
Yeah.
You know, at least it was in the seminary. And I've always considered it internal forum when dealing with people here in any assignment that I've been in that sought out spiritual direction. So I would feel uncomfortable about that.
Yeah, religious counseling, I guess, could be more like by talking about your faith more than actual spiritual direction. So that,
right.
Again, you know, that I agree with you. That's about the only one where I would absolutely say, not so sure about that. Now, here's where the problem comes in right after that.
Okay.
This subdivision shall not be construed to modify or limit the duty of a clergy member to report known or suspected child abuse and neglect when a clergy member receives information about abuse or neglect from any source other than penitential communication. Okay. A clergy member is required to report any information obtained outside of a penitential communication, even if the clergy member has also received information relating to abuse or neglect regarding the same person or incident during a penitential communication. Ooh, that's starting to get
a little touchy.
That's getting touchy.
Yeah.
Number 5, the exception described in paragraph 1 does not apply to either of the following. A penitential communication between a clergy member and another person that is employed at the same site or facility as the clergy member, or B, a penitential communication between a clergy member and another clergy member. Nope.
Wow.
Paragraph 5 is an absolute no.
Yeah. I mean, And if the Catholic Church in California had any kind of clout or authority, they would be working with their legislators and their lobbying wing to kill that part of the bill. And
the whole bill would have just been killed, period.
Yeah. And clearly they don't have the clout to do it.
No. Well, and I mean, there's reputation for California, but, you know, right now, and again, the church has not handled the abuse scandal well, to say the least. And no, we understand that, but
yeah, absolutely.
But this is not the answer to solve that again.
No, it is not. It's taking it out of the realm of, you know, the reasonable and taking it to the extreme. And, you know, I think, listen, we all want it to stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I am sick and tired of hearing about it. I'm sick and tired of, you know, having people talk to me about it. I'm sick and tired of the whole situation.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's an un, it's an, you know, for priests that have done nothing wrong,
mm-hmm.
And which I include most of the people that I know,
yeah,
if not all, you know, it's a problem because we can't, we get lumped in a lot of times with the abusers. And mm-hmm. some people might say, well, this is your chance to, you know, to do the right thing. Well, you know, I think we need to do the right thing without the context of mm-hmm. sacramental confession. I mean, if you notice anything about someone, a priest that's living with you that's weird or strange, you need to confront him about that.
Yeah.
And that was the problem that at least in my diocese in Boston, is that priests, unfortunately, were turning the other, you know, they were turning around and not,
right,
you know, reporting things that they saw that were unusual, that weren't sacramental.
Correct.
And, you know, that in and of itself was a problem. You know, law enforcement was complicit in all this, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that gets missed in a lot of the reporting about this. Law yeah. enforcement and district attorneys and everybody else who turned a blind eye to some of this. Yeah. Because they felt like they could, mm-hmm. and it was the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church, you know, had clout or whatever it was, and they did it as a favor, quote unquote, to the yep. to the bishop or the archbishop. Well, those days obviously are over, and that's good.
Yes,
you know, if someone gets, you know, arrested for something that's like this, they need to be prosecuted, and they need mm-hmm. to be taken care of by law enforcement, and they need to pay the penalty. Mm-hmm. And the bishops of the United States need to understand that that's going to be part of their responsibility, you know, when they hear yep. about something like this in a non-sacramental manner, mm-hmm. they need to take care of it because
yeah.
they're entrusted with that duty. And the great failure hasn't been necessarily on priests and confessionals.
It's no.
The great failure has been on bishops and chanceries.
Yeah. You know, and I, obviously, there is absolutely no way to get statistics on this. Absolutely not. And I don't think there should be.
Right.
But I would be interested if the priest who did this ever actually confessed it.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I've heard stories from sources here in Boston that in fact, priests, did go to confession, to their archbishop. Mm-hmm. And when they confessed what they did, they put him in a spot. They put him in the spot that he couldn't talk about what they had done. And
sure.
that happened here. I know it did. I believe the sources that I heard mm-hmm. it from, and it's, that was unfortunate. And I think now the Archbishop of Boston or the Bishop of wherever would probably say, listen, I'm not going to hear your confession.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell this to me, you're telling it to me as a mandated reporter.
Yep.
And that would be the smart thing to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a hard situation. And I don't know, as a priest, you know, if another priest did come to us, you know, how would we handle that? How would we say, okay, you know what? We're going to stop right here. I'm sorry. We need to step outside the confessional and we need to have this conversation. Cause
right.
you know, would we do that? I don't know. And, you know, to be clear, the reason why we're so concerned about the seal of confessional is because this is a confession is between the penitent and God.
Right.
We are the intermediary. We are frankly the tool.
That's it. I mean, yeah. And basically what you're saying is that the tool that God uses is going to be used to, you know, break a conversation
right.
between a believer and his God or her God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insanity.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and the church has literally codified this, has put it in canon law.
Right.
That we are not permitted. Again, just to read this out, just to get, you know, the documents out there. That's not something Father Chip and Father Corey are making up. This is, you know, this is, we are bound by this. Canon 983. The sacramental seal is inviolable. Accordingly, it is absolutely wrong for a confessor in any way to betray the penitent for any reason whatsoever, whether by word or in any other fashion. Canon 984. The confessor is wholly forbidden to use knowledge acquired in the confession to the detriment of the penitent, even when all danger of disclosure is excluded. A great, awesome movie for this is I Confess by Alfred Hitchcock.
Right, exactly. I was just thinking about that.
It is an incredible, if any of the California legislators happen to be listening to this, first of all, get rid of that bill. Get rid of it.
Right.
Secondly, if you want to know why, watch the movie I Confess.
Exactly.
The basic plot is, for those who haven't seen it, and again, I highly encourage you to watch it. Of course, Hitchcock is one of the great filmmakers of all time, and it's one of his greats. A guy commits a murder. A guy who is working for, if I remember right, he's working for the parish, like a maintenance guy or something like that.
Right.
And he commits murder and then ducks into the confessional and confesses it. Well, after he leaves the confessional, he goes to the police and he frames the priest.
Yep.
And so the police are trying to get information out of the priest on this, and priest isn't saying a thing. Yeah, can't talk about it. He will not talk about it. He will not talk. You know, did he even hear the confession of this guy? I can't talk about it. Did you see this guy for confession? I can't talk. You know, we'll not even say that the guy was in the church at the time of confessions. That level of, I just cannot talk about it. Just won't say a word. And so the police are convinced this priest did it, and they're getting ready. They're ready to arrest the priest. And of course, a very Hitchcockian turn at the end. It's old enough. I think we can spoil it.
I think you can spoil this. It's way old.
Yeah. This is a 60-year-old movie. The guy flips out. The guy that committed the murder, he's so racked with guilt that he basically goes crazy and admits the whole thing and kills himself, proving the priest was innocent and that the priest had done nothing wrong. The priest was willing to go to jail. The priest was willing to stand trial and be found guilty of murder, then violate the seal. That's where our priests are today. That's why, we are so concerned about this, as a church, Father Chip and I are both so serious about this. Why we brought this up, because our brother priests are willing to go to jail over this.
Absolutely. And they are,
I'll make it clear. If Montana decides to pass a law like this, I'm going to cut this clip out and send it to my legislators. We will go to jail. I will go to jail. Then violate the seal of the confessional. Just keep that in mind. And I'm not the only priest.
No. In a sense, they'd be legislating against the Catholic Church in a lot of ways. I know that they'll be say it's not just the Catholic Church, but let's be honest, it affects us the most. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. But there's no, and I'm convinced that there's no way that this is going to pass constitutional muster, but just the fact that it's going to be tried is concern enough.
Well,
and of course it's California, so we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, and how many of these kind of laws are passed until they finally break down the wall?
Exactly.
It's a
classic slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, this is a common tactic, is if it's something that they know is going to have legal ramification, as far as the issues of, constitutionality and whatever like that, they'll throw laws at it. And frankly, the pro-life movement is doing it, we know that's the only way we can get Roe v. Wade overturned. It's just to keep finding the law that's going to eventually get through and make that change. Well, that's what they're doing here.
I agree.
If this law gets overturned, they'll pass another one that maybe will restrict it just a little differently or phrase it a little differently until they finally get the constitutional muster that they desire. And then it just opens that door.
You're right.
The slippery slope argument is a fallacy when you're talking about that it's a necessary thing, that if you pass this law, it's just immediately down. That doesn't mean, however, that you can't make those steps down that slope.
Right.
You know,
if right. And I think, you know, it's too bad that the bishops of the United States haven't been able to come to a reasonable, you know, compromise or, you know, some sort of way to fix this situation mm-hmm. across the country. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that they need to be confessing, they need to be breaking the seal of confession, mm-hmm. but they have mishandled this abuse crisis so badly
yeah.
that in some ways this is the state trying to say, look, if you aren't going to fix it, we're going to fix it.
Right.
And so they need to, I mean, they need to take a long look at themselves in the mirror and say, we need to figure this out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, it has gotten a lot better.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's the sad part is as much as I'm not a fan of the Dallas Charter, I think it's an overstep in some cases,
but I think it is. Yeah.
It is also done much good in the church. True. But we don't hear that. We hear those one case or the, you know, the cases that slip through the cracks or the cases that happened before the charter and only came to light after or
right.
whatever it might be, you know, or worse yet, you hear that the cases of priests falsely confused or accused, confused
right.
and
right.
accused.
yeah, know? Exactly. Yeah. That happens. And, you know, it's unfortunate because once they're accused and once, I mean, I don't know about your diocese, but in mine, once they're accused, they're out. Yep. And, you know, even if they're found completely innocent, they don't even seem to get a path back into ministry. And that's yep. very sad.
Yeah, I've heard now in this diocese, we actually did have a priest who is still alive. Most actually all but like one, about three or four of them are men who are still alive. A couple of them have already left ministry well before this. Mm-hmm. But we had one who was at the time he was accused was still on active ministry. And he, of course, he was removed from ministry. And it turned out that it was just a complete and total lie that the guy completely made it up. And it got, you know, it was part of a lawsuit. The lawsuit we had right. to go through, just like every other diocese, it has gone through or is going through or will go through. And even the guy's own attorneys said, no, we're dropping this one.
Yeah.
You know, it was so blatantly false. But of course, this guy's name was smeared by that. And he was reinstated to ministry, but he was at that age where he could retire anyway. So he just decided to go on retirement. And now he just does fill in ministry.
Well, you know, good for him.
Yeah. So at least he's still a priest in good standings, or is once again a priest in good standings, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are others where I know cases throughout the country where as soon as that accusation was made, they may as well just go find another job.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I've seen it happen to too many guys here in Boston. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen, you know, we have to follow the laws. We have to follow the rules. And when people do follow the rules and follow the laws, then they need to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes we fall flat on that subject.
Right.
And, you know, and it would be one thing if the bishops included themselves in the Dallas Charter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, then you could say, OK, well, everybody's subject to the same thing. But, you know, yeah. they're not.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think they tried and there's real canonical issues on how you do that. Now, recently, the Holy Father released motu proprio that sets up procedures for how to handle situations with bishops. And I know the USCCB or the bishops got together as the USCCB in their summer meeting to talk about this. And, you know, there's still some real issues in how it's set up. You know, for example, there's if a bishop is accused, it goes to the metropolitan, who is the archbishop responsible for the region. So in my case, right. we are in region 12. We are under the Archdiocese of Portland. So Archbishop okay. Sample in Portland is our metropolitan. Obviously, your metropolitan is your archbishop.
That's right.
So, obviously, for those in an archdiocese, it's their archbishop.
Right.
So if, heaven forbid, an accusation was made against my bishop, it would go to Archbishop Sample to handle. If it was a archbishop, so if it was a metropolitan, it actually would be the senior suffragan bishop, the senior bishop under him, which, so if, again, heaven forbid, it was under Archbishop Sample was accused, my bishop is the senior bishop. So he would be the one that would have to adjudicate that.
Sure.
The concern was raised, and I can't remember what bishop raised it. I think it might have been, I don't want to say, because it was, but there's a bishop that actually got up and said, you know, asked, so who would handle it if it was a metropolitan or a retired bishop? And, you know, if it's a retired bishop living in the diocese, and he said, well, it would be the metropolitan of that diocese. The concern with that, obviously, in our most recent cases was McCarrick and Wuerl, former Cardinal McCarrick, now Mr. McCarrick, and Cardinal Wuerl.
Right.
How that was handled so badly. So. Yeah, there's some real issues with how it's supposed to be handled. And Rome does say in that document that if there are concerns like that, that it should go to Rome.
Right.
However, is that going to happen? We don't know.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's so hard to say. The machinations of the USCCB and everything else that goes along with it are so, you know, mysterious to me that I'm not even sure I can speak on it confidently. But I do know that, you know, they need to take responsibility no matter what. And, you know, some of them, some of them have done great work on this. Yep. And I include my Archbishop Cardinal Sean in that group who have been working very hard to, you know, make sure that children are safe. And that abusive priests are taken care of through the justice system and through our own church court system.
Yep.
He's done great work with that. And, you know, I don't think anybody in the country or in Rome would ever assail him on his bona fides as far as these things go, to the point where the Pope put him in charge of it. In the Vatican. So, I mean, there are good bishops out there and, but you know, they need to still step up to even today and figure out, you know, better ways to handle these things, better ways to release information. They need to find a way to change. If there's a canon that is in the way of releasing information about abusive priests, then that canon needs to be looked at, because I'm sure there are things that keep them from releasing information. And maybe that those canons need to be looked at. The Pope can change canon law. It's a big deal, but he can do it.
Yeah. Well, he's done it a few times since he's been Pope on different issues. You know, so it's not like it doesn't happen. And, you know, and one thing I want to kind of comment on, you know, when it comes to the rank and file in the church, that's where I think we've done the best job. I wholeheartedly believe it is. Again, as much as I might grumble when, it's time for the child protection stuff again for religious ed, and we got to do this again, we got to go through these classes again, I think they've done a good job of doing the enforcement, make sure it's being done properly. You know, like in my diocese, we just got emails about how certain people who had been volunteers in the past in my parish aren't up to date with the child protection program that we use for volunteers. And of course, you know, and because we're going to have an audit here in over the summer to make sure, you know, and I give my the office manager, the secretary of the bishop, I give her great credit for this. She says, you know, failure to do this shows how serious you and your pastor takes this issue.
Right.
You know, and it's true, you know, and so they're going, oh, I'm glad we're up to date. I'm glad we're good. I've got a good DRE that makes sure all that gets done.
Exactly.
And I know she'll be listening. So It's something we've taken seriously, and there is, you know, people understand if there is a concern, it must be raised, and it must be raised quickly.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, this bill, going back to circling back around to the bill, does not help. It is, I think my argument is it's going to make things, it make things worse. Assuming it stands, like we've been saying, you know, for constitutional issues, assuming it stands, it won't do any good.
No, I mean, you and I both know what it's going to do is that the priests aren't, if the priests know that that's the law, they're not going to go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, they, you know, I mean, why would they take a chance that somebody would say, oh, the hell with that, I'm not going to jail for you. You know, I mean, there's, I'm sure there are priests that would do that. And, you know, I have the sense that this would just drive the priests away from the sacrament.
Right.
Which is a shame. Because I think who needs it the most?
Yeah.
But people that are really in a bad place.
Yeah,
and you know, and I think, you know, that's what I mean. The sacrament of reconciliation is about healing, and if we're not going to allow people to heal, you know, I don't know. I just think it's going to drive, and it won't just drive the priests away. It'll drive everybody away. Because if you can, like I've said a million times, if you can break the rules on that, you can break the rules on other stuff.
Oh yeah, it isn't much of a leap to see the state saying basically, well, you know, we've taken it away for this reason. Why don't we just take it away altogether?
Absolutely.
You know, why should the church have this exclusive protection from any, you know, reporting any crimes at all?
Yep.
You know,
I think that's a valid concern on our part. I mean, it's when you look at, like, even just look at the issue. And the way it's been settled around the country of gay marriage, it didn't start out with marriage, right?
No.
It started out with civil unions.
Yep.
And it went from civil unions to, well, if we can do this, well, then it should be marriage. And, you know, I mean, there's a way that these different people, these different groups of people out there that are opposed to the church and opposed to maybe the way that we think politically and everything else. Mm-hmm. They use these different ways to sneak attack us with one thing.
Right.
Oh, don't worry. We're never going to go after that. We'll just do this.
Well, right now.
And then
right now we have exemptions for only allowing marriage between a man and a woman. The Catholic Church, you know, priests in the Catholic Church cannot marry. And, you know, you might hear stories where priests have done this. No, they haven't. They've just excommunicated themselves. But priests can only marry one man, one woman who are free to marry in the eyes of God. That's it.
Exactly.
That's all we can do. Priests can only be male. Deacons can only be male. That's it. Can't do women. Women cannot be priests. Women cannot be deacons. Right. I know there's arguments, but those are right now are just arguments. But what's to say if California decides, you know, next year, oh, now we need to make, now priests must be women. Women must be able to become priests. What's to stop them if this goes through? I mean, really,
there's nothing to stop them.
No.
There's literally nothing to stop them from trying to do this. And I don't, you know, I mean, granted, I don't think that would, again, I don't think it'd be a constitutional muster, but, you know, they're gonna, it wouldn't surprise me if someone tried it.
No, it's this really is how government works, you know, and
absolutely.
As it creeps into an area, and we've seen it with charity work. We've seen it with, you know, things like hospitals and things like that, medical care and all that. For the longest time, the church was the biggest provider of medical care. The church was the biggest charity. I mean, still is the biggest charity, but so much of the work that is done now by the government was done by the church for so long. And a lot of times for free or very, very cheap until the government got involved.
Exactly. And I think those are good points, because, you know, in Massachusetts, at least in the Archdiocese of Boston, the Catholic Charities got out of the child adoption business.
Yep.
They do not do it anymore. And they were one of the number one adoption agencies in the state.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that it had to come to that because of legislation and rules that were put into place.
Yep.
Forcing forcing the church to do something that was against, you know, our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, we had really no choice.
Exactly.
But to get out of that business. You know, the Catholic Church is at least in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and it probably is around the country, the number two provider of charity behind the government.
Yeah.
Only the government is a bigger safety net than what the Catholic Church offers.
And of course, the government doesn't provide charity. Charity is free giving from others.
Exactly.
Know. So anyway, I mean, this is an issue. Obviously, we're watching very closely.
Yes, indeed.
Is there anything else you want to kind of finish up with before we move on?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we've said it all, but I will say, if there is, on the off chance, a Catholic legislator from California listening, please do what you can to stop this. You know, this is from the bottom of my priestly heart. I would beg you to try and do anything you can to try and stop this. It's a grave injustice.
I agree. I agree 100%. And I encourage legislators throughout the country to oppose any movement in any other state to do this.
Absolutely.
This does not help. This will not help. It only hurts. This will only hurt. So please don't do it. So on that note, I want to thank everyone who has been listening and enjoying to our Let's Talk. I hope especially topics like this have been of interest and education, sanctification, maybe even to you. And I do appreciate your listening, and hope you will give us, you know, likes, you know, thumbs up on Facebook and YouTube and so on, and comments, you know, sharing your feedback, what you think of our topics. Again, whether it's this particular topic, which is a bit more contentious, or other topics that we've covered that maybe are a little more fun and relaxed. But we do want to hear what you have to say. So please do give us feedback. Also share our podcast. If you find this particular topic or any topic of interest, you might have some friends who might want to hear what we have to say as well. So please do share them with your friends and point them. Subscribe to our podcast on of all your favorite podcast lists of podcast spots. You know, Apple Podcasts, you know, it used to be iTunes. Now it's going to be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Apple's copying Google. I see what's going on here. No, or Stitcher, or all your favorite podcast apps. There's great places to find all our podcasts. We greatly appreciate those who support SQPN through your financial contribution. Obviously, we can't keep these podcasts going. This one or any of our other podcasts, including the new ones we've got coming out. Don Bettinelli, our CEO, with his wife, Melanie, brought out a great podcast, Raising the Bets, BETTS, something about pirates and penguins. You'll have to listen to the first episode where he talks about it. It's a great show. He's been doing a great job. We got some other shows coming out here soon. We got lots of great shows, so please do check those out at sqpn.com. But for those who do help us keep these shows going, we are very grateful. If you aren't helping us, you can go to sqpn.com/give and click the Patreon link, where you can join our Patreon campaign and contribute monthly to to supporting keeping the shows going. And also, we have some rewards for our Patreons. We have some Patreon exclusive shows. We recently did one for Secrets of Star Trek on the new Picard series that are coming out. There was a trailer. We did a short little recording on that. I know Jimmy has recorded some stuff. So there's lots of good things out there. Please do check that out. And again, we thank those who have been supporting us on Patreon, and we hope you continue to do so. So, Father Chip, do you have a pick for us this week?
A pick? That's a good question. I would say, you know, keep an eye out this summer for those sort of summer series that kind of pop up on Netflix and Hulu and all these other places, because I think you'll find some hidden gems there. You know, I don't have a specific one, although I will say Designated Survivor came back on Netflix with a third season that is excellent, way better than the first two seasons, and in my opinion. So things like that are popping up. Veronica Mars is coming out with another season with Kristen Bell. I think there's some hidden gems that come out over the summer, and it's always good to keep an eye out for those things.
Yeah, there's one that's a little irreverent, but very enjoyable, especially if you got kind of a geeky streak from Amazon called Good Omens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't started that one yet.
I just saw the first episode and really enjoyed it. But if you like the Terry Pratchett writing, where he's very satirical, he's kind of like Douglas Adams, kind of along that style.
Right.
It's worth watching. I've had, like I said, I've only seen the first episode and really enjoyed it. I just haven't been able to sit down and watch the rest of it. But other people who have seen it all said it's very much worth watching. If you're a Doctor Who fan, of course I am. Secrets David of Doctor Tennant. Who. David Tennant's on it, and he very much plays the 10th Doctor. I mean, it's very similar personality, similar. He's David Tennant at his comedic best. So
there you go.
Check it out. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%. And for my pick, I'm actually going to just basically pick The Sacrament of Confession. You know, we've been talking good about pick. It. If you haven't received the sacrament, please receive it. It is a beautiful, powerful, amazing sacrament. It is the sacrament of God's mercy. It is the sacrament of God's love. And, you know, I regularly will call it the sacrament of God's mercy because that's what it Amen. Is. It is through
Amen.
The sacrament of confession, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation, whatever you want to call it, that we receive the divine mercy of God the most clearly. It is one of my greatest gifts as a priest is to be able to celebrate that sacrament, to bring God's mercy. And, you know, I wish more Catholics would receive it. There are so many Catholics who haven't received it in years. And maybe it's because they, you know, they think that they can't. They think that, you know, their sins are too big. They're not. There is no Right. sin that is too big for God except to refuse to receive his sacrament. There are those who they think they're too good for it. I really wish they would get over that. Yeah, I've heard people, oh, I don't need it. I'm not that bad of a sinner. Yeah, you need it. We all need it. And it's Exactly. a beautiful thing. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. It's wonderful. You know, if you haven't been in a while, let the priest know. He'll walk you through it. Get an examination of conscience. We keep ones from the Fathers of Mercy in our vestibule and our entrance, where you can grab it. It's a little trifold or fourfold pamphlet, and it asks you all kinds of questions to help prepare for the sacrament. If you need help, the priest will help you. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And if you haven't received it, please go. If you're receiving it on a regular basis, keep it up, because it's
good for you.
It's so worth it. I, as a priest, need it. Matter of fact, I happened to be visiting with a priest last night, a brother priest last night, and was able to receive the sacrament from him last Excellent. Night, you know, because of course, I can't, you know, we priests, we can't go in the mirror and say, I absolve myself. It doesn't work that way. We got to go to a priest too and receive it. So
how awesome would that be, though?
Oh, I know. Right. Look at the mirror. Bless me, for I have sinned.
I have sinned.
That doesn't quite work. So
no, it doesn't.
But no, even with talking with these issues of the sacrament in California, please do go and receive it. It's worth it. And make your priest busy giving that sacrament.
Amen.
If you have to call the priest to get an appointment, do it, but go. So that's my pick, is the beautiful sacrament of confession. I know I'm kind of punting there, but you know what? It needed to be a pick. It needed to be a pick. So, well, Father Chip, where can people find more about you or hear more from you?
Well, obviously, if you go to Twitter and go, you can find me there at Chines, Chines. Also I do a podcast with Don Bettinelli, our CEO, called Coffee and Cinema. We have an idea percolating for this week. So, look out for that. So, and that's about it right now.
Well, very good. Well, that's a good place for it. And we'll let you get back to your work. He was working on something here before I interrupted him to record a show. So
I love the break.
So. And I'm Father Corey Stika. Again, you can find me at a bunch of SQPN podcasts, not just here at Let's Talk, but also Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who. I tend to pop up once in a while elsewhere, Secrets of Technology. My website is frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. I'm on Facebook at Father Corey Stika, and my Twitter handle is frcoreystika. If you enjoyed this podcast or you have feedback for us, you can reach us at letstalk@sqpn.com. We really do want to hear what you think of this episode or any episode of Let's Talk. So please do send us feedback. We're always glad to hear it. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.